We are young, we run free, stay up late, we don't sleep, got our friends, got the night, we'll be alright.
Welcome back, Weekend Kickoff 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Become a fan of the show on Facebook at 1320WILS Weekend Kickoff. You can also follow us on Twitter at WILS Weekend Kick. If you followed us on Twitter, you'd know that guests we have today, Jeremy Sampson, WILX TV, will join us in about 10 to 15 minutes talking high school basketball. The playoffs about to kick off. We'll talk about mid-Michigan teams and then just the state of Michigan in general, who the favorites are, who the surprises might be, and all that with Jeremy Sampson. Dave Burkett from the Detroit Free Press, who covers the Detroit Lions, will be with us at 9:30. We'll talk to him about Detroit Lions, who they might be thinking about drafting after that combine, and then also a little bit about the collective bargaining agreement and what this extension means for the league on both the players and owner side. Then at 10 o'clock, Rod Beard, Detroit News, covers Michigan basketball, will be with us. And at 10:30, we get the opposite side of it with Joe Rexroad and the Lansing State Journal. But we stick right now with Michigan State and Michigan. If you'd like to get your opinions in, 393-3700 is the number to call, 393-3700. And Scott, I was talking about in the opening segment how this game, because I've read certain articles and I've seen posts and things where Michigan fans, I think, are getting a little ahead of themselves talking about how this is a gap-closing game. And in my opinion, there is a difference between gap-closing and program building. I think this could be a program-building game for Michigan, but I think a gap-closing game is a couple years away for them.
I agree completely. John Beilein hasn't been there long enough for it to build into knowing this is what's going to happen. Just look at the surprises from year to year to year. I mean, last year, everybody thought, well, now that we
top
beat Clemson.
Team.
Yeah, we beat Clemson in the tournament. We had to go against Blake Griffin. We're going to be there. And they fell apart. Mm-hmm. This year, they come in and you go, there's no seniors. It's a bunch of freshmen. We don't know if Darius Morris is going to be a good point guard. And it was a pleasant surprise this year. So you don't even know before the season starts how it's going to go, whereas Michigan State is pretty consistent this year, not as much, but pretty consistent. You can put them in the top 15 at least.
And, you know, we're not saying that. We're not trying to badmouth Michigan. This is just the truth of where this basketball program has gone. Okay, the last 13 years, they've got two NCAA appearances, have never made it past the second round. Whereas Michigan State has 13 NCAA appearances, six Final Fours, a national championship. They've been to the Sweet 16 or better in nine of those appearances. So it's just the gap between them is so far that you need to build your basketball program back up before we can start saying that you're closing the gap.
Well, look at it this way. Say Michigan does win later today. I don't think it'll happen, but say they do. Look ahead till next year. Who are you going to pick, just right now, even, who are you going to say
Michigan State
wins games?
What's Michigan
that?
State.
Yeah, Michigan State. And that's what we're talking about. It's holding over. That's the program aspect. It's great this year what Michigan's doing, but we don't know what's going to happen next year, and you don't have that confidence. And, I mean, John Beilein, by all means, can do that. I think he's a very good coach. I am shocked with what he's done with Jordan Morgan. We talked early last year about Sims, how he didn't know how to use a post player. And he's changed. I've not become quite a believer, but he's proved to me that he can do more than just show guys how to shoot threes. And so by all means, this is a big step in closing that gap somewhat for right now, but it's not as in making the program equal.
I don't think that you can call it a gap closure until your program starts playing at the level, at least to a certain degree, of Michigan State. And that's why my argument is that this, regardless of what happens, is not a gap closure in this rivalry. It's not a gap closure in these two programs and where they stand. Okay, this is a program builder, a momentum builder for Michigan in the future. Now, if Michigan comes out and the next three seasons start splitting with Michigan State home and home every single year, then yes, I think you can start talking about a gap closure. But 1 year does not a program make. And that is the main point I'm trying to get across here.
And we can go back to what I said, where this is a big game for these two teams, but neither one's ranked, neither one is actually doing that well in the overall scheme of things when you look at it. I mean, if they both get ranked, if it's if they're winning games against the top teams in the league, say they are splitting with an Ohio State, Wisconsin, the top 10 teams. Let's flip it to football. Okay. Michigan State has won the last three games. Is that a program? Would you put the programs now after these three? Mark D'Antonio's been here for a little while at Michigan State. Would you, or how close are these programs to each other?
I still don't think they're that close. The reason is, I think that was more on Rich Rodriguez closing the gap than it was on the Michigan program closing the gap. If Lloyd Carr is still there, I don't think we're talking about this. And I still, yes, next year I will probably pick Michigan State just because of where the programs stand right now. But if in the next 3 years, okay, it's going to go back to Michigan as the favorite and Michigan State winning one every 3 years. That's just the way it is. It's like the comparison I made with Kansas and Kansas State. The last couple of years, Kansas State in basketball has gotten theirs against Kansas. But we would never say that Kansas State's in the same realm as Kansas in the basketball program community. They just happen to have had a good couple of seasons.
It's all about longevity.
It is.
And when you look at it, it's in the state of Michigan, it's Tom Izzo. And John, like I said, John Beilein can do that. But even going back to that, it doesn't matter who the coach is at Kansas when Bill Self came in, it's still Kansas. And is it Frank Martin? Is
yes.
that the coach at Kansas State? He's the reason that turned around. They got Michael Beasley, they got Bill Walker, and kind of turned it around right then. But you have to be able to hold it for a 10-year period. And Tom Izzo, like you said, over the last 10-plus years, there's not a coach who's done
that. And that's where this comes into play, is that I think you can split stuff up by eras. I mean, I think we can definitely say before Tom Izzo, Michigan dominated the basketball era against Michigan State for a couple of years. I mean, you're talking a four-year span where Michigan didn't lose to Michigan State in the 90s. So it's not like Michigan's basketball program hasn't been better than State's in the past. The difference is we go by eras. Okay, like I said, in Michigan football, nobody goes by the Ohio State-Michigan era of when Bump Elliott was there. They go by the Ohio State-Michigan era when it was Bo and Woody. Okay, and then we went into an era when it was Lloyd and Cooper. Okay, this is how it goes. Now we're in an area where Tressel is dominating whatever Michigan coach goes. It goes by eras. And so Beilein has a chance to make this a rivalry. He does. But Michigan State has done so well in this Tom Izzo era. Okay, it's hard to close the gap against a team like that.
Well, it's funny because I'm thinking about this and go back 20 years, and it's strange to think that it was 20 years, close to 20 years, you've got the Fab Five, which I do believe there's a 30 for 30 coming out on the Fab
yes, there
Five
is.
Pretty soon. They dominated the state of Michigan. That
yeah.
was their era. That was the program. Then Tom Izzo took over. So really, how far away historically, I know presently, and we've looked the last 15 years is what we're talking about, but really how far away should Michigan be in that?
Well, you have the whole suspensions and games taken away and stuff that has set the program back.
Because how much does that affect what was 15 to 20 years ago when Michigan was the dominant team?
Well, that's what I'm saying is I think Michigan's program back then, Michigan State was behind in the gap period. But now that Tom Izzo is there, and when you look at the fact that Michigan State's 18-8 against Michigan since Izzo has gotten there, could be 22-8 if they hadn't gone four seasons with only playing them once. When you compare the NCAA tournament appearances and things, I think it's a gap like it's never been before between these two teams. And the truth is that until Izzo leaves Michigan State, okay, that's the gap that Michigan's trying to get through. Now, the problem is their program is not even in the realm to say they're closing the gap. The gap is so wide right now between these two teams, even with the recent NCAA appearance and things of that nature for Michigan. It's so wide that the only reason you can say the gap is closed is because it had nothing to do but close. There was nowhere for it to go but close. Okay, so Michigan can turn this around. If Michigan makes three or four NCAA appearances in a row, if Michigan makes a Sweet 16 somewhere in there, something along those lines, then yes, I think that means the program is back up, and I would say you can start talking about gap closing. Okay, but when I talk gap closure, I'm talking North Carolina versus Duke, things of that nature. You can't talk gap closure when you have two programs that are as far apart as Michigan and Michigan State are right now.
And let's be serious, the only reason it's this close is because Michigan State's having their worst season really since the second year Tom Izzo took over.
And that's where my argument comes in of a rivalry like Navy and Notre Dame. And I'm not saying that Michigan is Navy. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying you can make comparisons to the fact that when Notre Dame plays Navy that many times in a row, they're going to lose to Navy eventually. It's just going to happen. It's inevitable. But we don't sit there and say, because Navy beat them two or three years in a row, that all of a sudden Navy is on the same level as Notre Dame program-wise. It doesn't work like that. So Michigan is better this year than Michigan State if they end up beating State today. Okay, and I will not argue that, and I don't think a State fan should argue that. But just because you're better in one season doesn't mean your program is that at that level too. Okay, and that's what Michigan fans need to understand, is that this is the beginning of what's going on. Okay, this is what you strive for, is a quality win like this to get your program going, to get the wheels turning. And once the wheels start turning, once you make an NCAA appearance on more than one occasion every 4 years, then I will start to talk about how this program is closing the gap per se. But right now, Michigan is not closing the gap. Michigan is looking for a win that's going to boost their program, that's going to get some better recruits in, that's going to turn some heads. And not because they beat Michigan State, but because they made the NCAA tournament. This game, to me, today, for Michigan State, it's about knocking out Michigan. It's about knocking them back down. It's about when you're a boxer, okay, you don't let your opponent get back up. When you're a college football team and you're beating a team by 30 points, you don't let them get 14 extra points at the very end of the game to make it look more respectable. You knock them down and you keep them down. And that's what Michigan State's concern is today, is not giving Michigan any momentum. Michigan's goal today should not be, let's beat Michigan State and close the gap. Michigan's goal should be, let's win this game today and get into the NCAA tournament for our program. Not for this rivalry, but for our program.
See, I think it could be to prove that the other win wasn't a fluke. The win up in...
But that's what I'm saying, is I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters. If you win this game, okay, yes, that would prove that there's not a fluke, and it would prove that you were a better team this year. But Michigan has more concerns than just beating Michigan State on one occasion, okay? Just like Michigan, okay, Michigan football has more concerns than just beating Ohio State next year, okay? Yes, that'd be fantastic, but if Michigan goes 6-6 and beats Ohio State, that to me is not a victory. If I'm a Michigan fan, to me, going 8-4, 9-3, and losing to Ohio State is more important, because it's about building your program back up. Michigan can't claim that they are closing the gap with Ohio State until they themselves start performing on a year-in, year-out basis. And the same thing goes for basketball. That's my personal opinion about it.
I laugh because it's from the outside perspective of that it would be what's best for them football-wise, going the 8-4, but I'm pretty sure fans would say I'd rather go 6-6 beating Ohio State.
Well, and I understand that there's plenty of people probably feel that way. I'm saying they shouldn't feel that way. What I'm saying is this team should be concerned, both basketball and football, about getting the program better. And once your program is more consistent and better, then you can start to focus on beating these rivals. Coming up next, we'll talk some high school basketball playoffs kicking off on Monday. Jeremy Sampson, WILX TV, will be with us this weekend kickoff, 1320 WILS.